We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassar.
A disappointing day for the Dodgers at Wrigley Field as they get swept in the day-night doubleheader by the Cubs. 4-3, the final score in the nightcap, and the Cubs defeated the Dodgers in the first game by a final score of 7-1. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vassay taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Justin Steele gets the win in relief. Garrett Clevenger suffers the loss after surrendering the go-ahead base hit, the walk-off base hit to David Bote, allowing Chris Bryant to walk in from third base. The Dodgers are in quite a tailspin right now. They have lost 12 of their last 16. That's since they started the year 13-2. They're 4-8 in one-run games, 1-5 in extra inning games, and just 1-5 on this road trip. Second time on this road trip, the Dodgers had a two-run lead in extra innings, and their bullpen was not able to hold it. Tonight, it was Mitchell White who got the first two outs of the eighth inning, but then surrendered a two-out, two-run, game-tying home run to Javier Baez. So, basically, for the Dodgers, they just can't put it together. The one pillar that they have is their starting pitching. Kershaw had his worst start of the year, going only one inning in the first game today, and they got blown out 7-1. Their offense just right now cannot come back from a deficit that is even a four-run deficit in a short seven-inning game, let alone a five- or six-run deficit. Number two, they're not playing great defense. Corey Seager defense was poor again in that first game. Edwin Rios made a big error that cost Blake Treinen more pitches. Luckily, Treinen was able to make a big pitch to get Chris Bryant looking to end the inning to escape that poor defensive play by Edwin Rios. They just can't put it together. The bullpen, the offense, the defense, the running, base running, just not all there, and that's not very characteristic of the Dodgers. And look, I have some tactical questions and decisions that were made tonight, no doubt about it, but the bottom line is some of these key Dodger players have got to play better and swing the bat better. Finally, something went Max Muncy's direction tonight with that game-tying home run in the seventh inning. It was his first home run since April 15th. He's the Dodgers' cleanup hitter, and he was just 2 for his last 43 with 18 strikeouts before that home run. So hopefully that changes things for Max Muncy. As far as Corey Seager goes, ever since he hit that 12th inning go-ahead home run in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, he has been struggling at the plate. He is just 8 for his last 65, which is a .123 batting average. And the eyes and the numbers are matching up that his defense is at the bottom of all major league shortstops this year so far. So Seager's not swinging the bat well. He's struggling offensively and defensively. Mookie Betts, who makes this offense go along with Seager, is hitting just .235 with one home run since coming back from missing those handful of games with a back injury up in Oakland. So those are some of the more bigger issues facing the Dodgers, whether more than, you know, trying to attack Edwin Rios for not getting base hits. I know he's struggling. I have no idea why he started that second game. I really don't. I would be shocked if Justin Turner agreed with sitting down that second game of that day-night doubleheader. I mean, Turner only played seven innings. It was a seven-inning first game. He had last night off because of the rainout. He only played 3 innings on Sunday in Milwaukee, so he's had enough rest, unless something's really bothering him, which I doesn't appear that it is. And there is no answer for why Matt Beatty did not get one single at-bat in either one of these 2 games played today. You could say all you want about Gavin Lux getting hits. The facts are he's just 5 for his last 30 since coming back, and the 2 hits he got in the first game were infield singles. One was an infield single, one just barely got through the infield. So if you really want Max Muncy in the starting lineup, he could play second base. The Dodgers have given Gavin Lux a lot of opportunities here, and they should continue to give him opportunities. But this isn't spring training anymore. The Dodgers have to find a way to start getting some wins, and they needed this win today. So you needed to put out your best lineup out there, and you needed to find a way to get Matt Beatty an at-bat. The reason why he didn't get an at-bat in this game was because Dave Roberts sent him up to pinch hit against a right-handed batter with the left-hander Chafin warming up. You knew if you sent Beatty up there, they were going to bring in the lefty. Why not send up Luke Rayleigh up there to be the sacrificial lamb instead of burning your best left-handed bat on the bench? So those are, you know, questions that appear in the middle of a game. But essentially, it comes down to the Dodgers' big boppers, the money guys, to be able to perform. And, you know, this bullpen isn't what it was last year, and it certainly isn't what they thought it would be at the beginning of the year. But they've held their own. They've held their own with the injuries. The offense has to do better. The defense has to do better. 866-987-2570. Jerry Hairston Jr. will be joining us at the bottom of the hour to get his thoughts. Let's go out to L.A. Mike, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Mike.
Dave, how are you, man? You know, it's funny that Dave Roberts says that we need to do the little things. Does he mean the little things, like the little solo home runs? Because his team knows nothing about small ball. And when you go through stretches like this, and all you do is rely on the big ball in your feast or famine, you're going to go through such like this, and it's going to be a really long time until you get out of it. This team is so miserable right now. It's very hard to watch. I don't think it's going to happen anytime close that they're going to come out of this thing, because all these guys in the IL, the hatred of Matt Beatty, I just don't get. Edwin Rios is awful. Don't let him figure this thing out in the big club. Let him send him down. Let him figure it out down there, then bring him back up. He's obviously lacking a ton of confidence. The shifts. Are we the only team that can't beat a shift? Seems like everybody beats the Dodgers' shifts. I just don't get it. They're the only team. You know why? Because they don't know what small ball is. It's feast or famine. And it's been this way for 3 or 4 years. The reason why nobody brings it up is because you know better than I. Winning solves all. And when you win games and you squeak games out and you get these walk-off home runs, nobody talks about it because you're winning. They miss a guy like Zach McKinstry so much right now. He's the only guy that you can point at and say, you know what, that dude's a ball player. He might put one down because I'm struggling right now. I'm not a big Bellinger guy, but I think he's the guy, and probably the, you know, a guy that you just kind of plug into a lineup, and then his name alone kind of helps you protect the guys around him. Again, this is what happens when you rely on the long ball. These dudes can't manufacture a run to save their lives. When you go through stretches like this, it's going to take a long time to get through it, man. Thanks for taking my call, Dave.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. A couple of points. I feel like there are a few guys that are baseball players. Justin Turner, baseball player. Chris Taylor, baseball player. AJ Pollock, baseball player that makes contact. So I disagree with you that Zach McKinstry is the only guy that does that. And I, you know, everybody talks about small ball and manufacturing runs. There's different ways to do that other than just bunting. There are other ways to do it. If there's a runner at second base, less than 2 outs, and you're struggling at the plate, why not be unselfish and give up your at-bat to get that runner over to third base? That's what Anthony Rizzo was doing in extra innings. He was just trying to pull the ball, and he successfully got Chris Bryant over to third base so he could come home, walk home on that David Bodie base hit over Mookie Betts' head in right field. But for the Dodgers to manufacture runs, they've got to get base hits. They only had 5 hits today. two of them were home runs, like you said. And I'm not disagreeing with you. There are a lot of guys in this lineup that are swinging way too big and trying to swing big to get out of this slump. It's not going to work that way. And part of the reason why the Dodgers won the World Series last year and have been so successful since 2019, 2018. Well, 2018, they were a feast or famine too, but since 2019, they have been very successful because they have gone out there and made a concerted effort to find players that make contact, not just slug. And right now it just looks really bad because none of these guys are doing much of anything at the plate, including, like I said, the money players. You can't point out Edwin Rios. You can't expect Matt Beatty to carry you. It's got to be Seager. It's got to be Betts. It's got to be Turner, who's doing his part. Those are the money players. Let's go out to Josh in Sierra Madre. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Josh.
Appreciate the phone call, Dave. It's been a while since I've been on. It's nice to talk to you. Hope you and your family are well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really frustrating right now. Other than the stretch in 2017 and the beginning of 2018, I don't think I've ever seen a more frustrating stretch of Dodger baseball. And you're absolutely right. You know, you can get on Rios all you want, but I feel terrible for him. His confidence just looks shot, you know, and they don't have a better option to use him besides Turner right now. It's just I feel terrible for him. But it's the money guys that are not getting it done. I still wonder if Mookie is still injured from his back and those and that pitch he took in Seattle. Corey Seager looks like he's more concerned about his upcoming contract than he is about the team. It's just really frustrating. But I have one question about one of the two games today that has never been brought up. Earlier in the game, and the first game was basically done for in the first inning, Dave Roberts uses one of his best relief options. We don't have a lot right now, but Jimmy Nelson has been much better than he was in the beginning of the season. Why are you using him in a 6-0 game that's already been basically decided instead of maybe Mitchell White, which is the time to maybe get his feet wet? Why are you using him? I don't get that at all, Dave.
That's a great question, Josh, and that's why Jimmy Nelson wasn't available in the second game. And look, I'll be honest with you. Do I want to see Jimmy Nelson in a tied game in extra innings? Not really. But he does have the stuff sometimes to get it by guys, whether he's spinning it or his fastball gets by him. So I'll give you that. But I got to be honest with you. It makes me nervous to see Jimmy Nelson in a tight game. He's gotten out of a few close calls, but he was very fortunate to do so. But that's a very fair point. You're putting an inexperienced pitcher in a tough spot. He almost got out of it. He got the first two outs of the inning, and he unfortunately made a bad pitch to Javier Baez that he did not miss, and that's what Baez does. Let's go out to La Crescenta. Serge, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Serge.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I've been better, Serge. I guess I'm doing, you know, I had to go to the snack shop, and I got to be honest with you. I knew this day was not going to end well when I asked for no mayo on my sandwich and I got mayo. So that was a bad sign.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you. You know, I'm going to go stress eat some free Jumbo Jacks tonight, you know.
Yeah, I might go get those two tacos even though they're not free.
Yeah. No, it's been tough. I mean, like, the problem is that, like, I've been seeing is Dave Roberts is sort of setting up his players to fail. You know, like people have mentioned, Rios, he has no business in being in those big situations. I mean, he's hitting 77, not even in the 100s. I feel bad for him. You know, like he's lost at the plate and he's clearly trying, but he just has no confidence left. Why are you throwing Mitch White in the eighth inning and like not conserving your bullpen? Dave Roberts doesn't know how to manage his bullpen. The guys can't hit. You know, I mean, that's the problem. That's why we aren't able to do well late in games, because we have such great starting pitching. You know, we have Bauer. Kershaw's done well up to this point. You know, we have all these great starting pitching and all these great starts that just get wasted because we can't score runs, you know? And
yeah.
I think that, like, it'll be a while before we could turn this ship around. But, like, we got to score runs, you know? We got to have better management of the bullpen and just Dave Roberts, I mean, I personally think that he's made decisions like this in the past that have just backfired, but a lot of his players were able to back him up, you know, with their play and play well in situations, but it's just super magnified right now. And I mean, Dave Roberts, he's a great guy, but like just right now, he's just not making a lot of great decisions, you know?
All right, Serge, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I will say this, this stretch of time for the Dodgers has the same feeling that we had at the beginning of 2018. And the Dodgers in a weak National League that year were able to go back to the World Series. Remember, they kind of had that hangover after 2017. I would say there was more of a hangover in 2019, but you know, they no doubt about it. This feels like 2018. In 2018, the Dodgers were 16-26 until June 10th, and that's when they went above 500. So we are only at May 4th. So for those that are jumping off and thinking this season is over, it's still extremely early, but it doesn't change the fact the Dodgers may not be as talented as they have been in years past, position player-wise, but they are more talented in their starting rotation than they ever have been in the last 3 or 4 years. So that is where it all starts, and that's how you get wins. But this does feel like the beginning of 2018, where they started 16-26. They were very fortunate to find the Rockies at the beginning of their schedule, 7 times, which helped them start the year 13-2, but they've run into very good pitching, and that has turned into a slump, and also their defense is in a slump, and they're trying to find the right mix of relief pitchers when they go deep into games. Extra innings. They played 6 extra inning games already. You're not going to have your prime relievers at the end of extra innings. So that's where the Dodgers are at right now, but it's still early. I hate to say that, but this team does have a track record the last 5 or 6 years, even 8 years, of starting off slow and finding a way to come back in different seasons. A guy that knows all about that, he was on the first Dodger Division Championship team during this string of 8 consecutive back in 2013 when everybody had them dead to rights, and all of a sudden they came back and went off on this string of wins, most ever in a string of games in the second half of the season. I believe they won 45 games in about 55. So Jerry Hairston Jr. knows about that. We'll check in with him from the Sportsnet LA studios, and we'll also get back to your phone calls as we are taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight on Dodger Talk. The Cubs sweep the day-night doubleheader. Recap, 7-1 in game one, 4-3 in the nightcap, right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
On air at AM 570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
Disappointing day for the Dodgers as they get swept in the day-night doubleheader in Chicago by the Cubs, 7-1 in game one, 4-3 in extra innings in the nightcap. Dodger Talk with you until 10 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. In case you missed our midday Dodger Talk, you could podcast that on the iHeartRadio app or AM570LASports.com. And don't forget tomorrow, episode 6 of our extra innings podcast with Andre Ethier will drop tomorrow afternoon, and also our special guest on episode 6, the Hall of Fame manager Joe Torre. So you don't want to miss that. You could podcast that as well on the iHeartRadio app, on the iTunes, or Spotify. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, but we want to check in with Jerry Hairston Jr. from the Sportsnet LA studios. Jerry, not an ideal way to end tonight, especially after good things went Muncy's way and the Dodgers' way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We had a chance to win that ball game, the second one of the doubleheader. You know, Max Muncy had a clutch home run there off the closer. Kimbrel hasn't given up a run all season, able to tie it up, and then getting extra innings, scoring a wild pitch, and then JT hitting that pinch hit home run, put us up ahead by 2, and then we just couldn't slam the door. You know, you got a guy up there with 2 outs, Javi Baez. You don't have to throw him a strike. He's going to swing the bat. And you get a 1-0 fastball center cut, and he ties the game up, and then they go on and win the game. It's just unfortunate. Dodgers are a really good team, but they're not playing good baseball right now. And I don't care how good you are. If you're not playing good baseball, you're going to get beat in this league.
Jerry, you were on the 2013 Dodgers that were about 500 halfway through the season into July, and then you guys took off. 2018, the Dodgers were 16-26 up until June 10th when they went above 500. Is it too soon to say it's early? Are people tired of hearing it's early? What can you say about those individual seasons and how that this year might be similar?
Well, I think the 2013 team I was on, we had some injuries. I know, Hanley Ramirez wasn't 100%. I know Matt Kemp wasn't 100%. We're waiting for him to get back. And we're just kind of dealing with some stuff. And listen, whether we like it or not, I get tired of hearing it's early. But you know what? It is early. I mean, that's just the reality of it. We're not even into June yet, let alone July. And July, that's when you start to figure out what team you have and what kind of season you are having. But at the same time, you know, you don't make excuses. They understand defensively we have not played well at all. That's what's kind of bothering me. You know, hitting comes and goes. I would have liked to see us make more contact the last couple of weeks. I think we're better with runners in scoring position. It's just too many strikeouts. But our defense, man, that's what kind of bothers me a little bit. We have to start to clean that up. And it's just the nature of the beast, man. You give other teams opportunities, more times than not, they're going to capitalize on it.
And Jerry, you know how important up the middle defense is, and the Dodgers have not gotten great defense up the middle from Corey Seager or Gavin Lux.
I don't know what has kind of transpired this year with our up the middle defense. We just haven't been playing to our capabilities. And I think Corey would admit that. Gavin Lux would admit that. And it's just not on them. You know, everybody, you know, has to play better. You know, when you're not playing defense as a group well, it's on everybody. You know, you have to be able to pick each other up. Our pitching has been outstanding. Our bullpen, they really have done an incredible job keeping us in games, and they've been taxed the last couple games, you know, with a lot of innings pitched, but they give us a chance to come back and win ball games. We have to pick them up as an offensive team. It's just not happening. The one thing that I will say that kind of bothered me today, Matt Beatty didn't get in at bat today. I was assuming he was going to start both of these games. He was, outside of Justin Turner, he's been our best hitter. You know, the last 5-6 days, I am stunned he didn't start. Especially when you can have Mookie Betts start in center field, maybe have have Beatty get a start in right, have him get a start in left, or at first have Muncy play second base, whatever. You have to fight to put him in the lineup, because the way we're swinging the bat now collectively, you keep the hot hitters in the lineup.
Yeah, you don't want to cool down your hot hitters, Jerry, and sitting down for a whole day might do that. I couldn't believe Justin Turner didn't start the second game either. You kind of needed to win that game. I know it's hard to say you need to win a game in May, but he did have yesterday off. He only played 3 innings on Sunday, and he only played 7 innings in the first game.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I know there's times and opportunities where you want to rest guys. I get it. It's a long season. But not when you're in the midst of this stretch. You know, when we're not swinging the bat collectively, you know, you really want to make sure you kind of ride your hot hitters. And then once we, you know, we win 5 or 6 in a row and we're rolling as a ball club, then you can rest, you know, certain guys. But, yeah, I know they have a plan and they have guys that they have as far as mapped out certain days to have, rest. But, again, you know, I played for Dusty Baker. I played for Bud Black. I played for Joe Girardi. I played for Buck Showalter. You know, just because you have something mapped out doesn't mean you alter that plan. You can alter that plan. And, again, you know, you can rest Justin Turner here or there because you want to make sure you keep him fresh. But Matt Beatty not getting a start today was shocking to me.
Jerry Hairston Jr. is joining us from the Sportsnet LA studios. Dodgers get swept in Chicago in this day-night doubleheader. Jerry, going back to the offense and injuries, is it as simple as saying when Cody Bellinger comes back, this offense is going to be clicking? I feel like they have enough money players in this lineup right now to not be waiting for Cody Bellinger.
No, you can't. There's no one guy. When Cody gets back, you don't know if he comes back and he's going to be red hot. You have no idea. It may take Cody some time. In order for you to be a great offensive club, you have to be firing on all cylinders. You got to be able to put the ball in play. You can't strike out. You got to be able to hit with runners in scoring position, getting those two-out key hits, something that we've done the last couple of years. But these guys understand that. You know, I really respect that clubhouse, the leaders they have in that clubhouse, Mookie Betts, Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw, all those guys. They know they're not playing well, and it's just tough. If you think it's tough for us to watch, trust me, I've been in that clubhouse where we weren't playing well. You know it. You know what I'm saying? And it sucks as a player, man. But nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Nobody's going to feel sorry for the injuries that we've had. They want to beat you because you're the defending World Series champion. So you're going to get everybody's best. And I think they're starting to realize, hey, no matter who we play, that night it's that team's biggest game.
I think the only guy that had a good second game was Nomar Garciaparra because he got you off the desk and got you back standing away from the desk. I would say Nomar was the only winner tonight.
I'm sure we had some lighting issues in studio, so I had to hurry up, get on the desk before it came up. We're trying to switch things up there. We're trying to make sure we get our guys hot, you know, and it just didn't happen today. It's just one of those things. But, again, I believe in this group. These guys are champions. They've been hitting the mouth. And, you know, they've been punching the mouth the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we start punching back because we're too good of a ball club.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for checking in. And, you know, considering what Nomar told me in between games, I wouldn't expect to be sitting next to him anytime soon.
I believe that. He's been kind of hot the last couple of days, man.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for breaking it down. Great insight as always.
Anytime, Dave.
There he goes, Jerry Hairston Jr. from the Sportsnet LA studios. I think he was speaking French when he kept saying we, our, we. I didn't know he was so bilingual. 866-987-2570. Dodgers get swept in this day-night doubleheader. 7-1 in game one, 4-3 in the nightcap. It looked like the San Francisco Giants, who were going to be playing a doubleheader today, were going to sweep both games at Coors Field, but the Rockies came back to beat the Giants in the second game of that doubleheader. But either way, the Dodgers will go to sleep tonight in third place in the NL West. Let's go out to San Diego. Our paisan, Paulo, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Paulo.
Ciao, David. And listen, as far as Clayton Kershaw, let's remind him not ever to pitch on May the 4th because today, and 10 years ago, actually 11 years ago against the Brewers, when he only lasted one and three innings. So let's remind Kershaw never to pitch on May the 4th. And secondly, you know, Edwin Rios, I know the other day you say something about that. He's got to go down. He has to go down because, you know, he's not hearing. He's in like .78. And secondly, you know, defensively, he always costs the game today. He has to go down. But
I'm not against that. It worked for Matt Beatty, but I think it's unfair if fans are going to pin the Dodgers losing on Edwin Rios. That's what it feels like. So I'm with you, Paulo. Maybe it is best for him to get a breather. Oklahoma City starting their game here, starting their season on Thursday. Maybe it's not such a bad thing for him to get a breather.
Yeah, I know, but David, he has to go down because this is not going to help because, you know, always costing the game in the sixth inning.
Yeah, I agree with you. Arrow. But why was he starting the game? He shouldn't have started the game. Justin Turner should have started third base.
And your name? I agree with you, David.
All right, Paulo. Thanks for the phone call. Look, I know Edwin Rios is struggling, but like I said, to blame Edwin Rios for all the Dodgers' offensive struggles, it's just not fair and it's not accurate. It's not his fault. I know he's not hitting very well. I know he had an error that almost caused more runs to score, but luckily Blake Treinen was able to get a big strikeout. It wasn't ideal, but you know, for everybody to call in and to talk about Edwin Rios, there are bigger issues with the Dodgers offense than Edwin Rios. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Camarillo. Luis, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Luis.
Hi, David. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on. Just want to keep it quick. I just want to say, what about Cuba Ruiz? Why didn't he continue?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would have used him as a pinch hitter instead of Austin Barnes in the ninth inning, but my understanding was Keibert Ruiz was the last arm at the Dodgers' disposal. So after Clevenger, Ruiz was the only guy they could use to pitch, which I'm not thrilled about considering he's your top Dodger prospect. You're going to put him on the mound. I'm with you. You should have used Ruiz to pinch hit, and I would have definitely driven off the side of the road if you see your top prospect pitching in an extra inning game.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. 866-987-2570. Speaking of Dodger prospects, the minor league season is starting and has started in AA, and I just wanted to give you an update on where the top Dodger prospects are playing this year. Considering there was no minor league season last year, they had to play at the alternate site at USC, but finally, after a year of not playing games against other teams, these prospects are going to get to continue their development and hopefully help the Dodgers by the end of this season, if not, maybe next year. And two guys in particular that you will see next year, and maybe at the earliest September of this year, Cody Hosey and Michael Bush are starting the year at AA Tulsa. Ryan Pepio and Nick Robertson, two of the more impressive arms in spring training this year, are going to get some experience at AA Tulsa as well. Josiah Gray, who might be a candidate to fill in for the Dodgers' fifth starter spot, is going to be the opening day starter for Oklahoma City on Thursday. Also, the Dodgers' number one overall pick in the 2020 draft, Bobby Miller, who was very impressive in spring training, is going to start the year at High A Great Lakes. So that's the update on where the Dodger top prospects are going to start the year in the minor leagues. And the reason why I bring it up is last year there was no minor leagues. Bobby Miller should have been at low A or even high A after he got drafted last year. That's what usually happens. But because of no minor league season last year, he had to go to the alternate site. And the first professional pitch he ever threw was not in the minor leagues. It was against professional major league hitters in spring training. Same thing with Pepio and Nick Robertson. Those were the first pitches they had thrown in professional baseball. They threw them in spring training. So for a lot of these guys, they haven't had that experience of developing and going up against opposing teams' best players. And that's part of the dilemma for the Dodgers. If there was a minor league season last year, maybe a guy like Pepio and Robertson are ready to go at some point in the middle of the year, but they still need seasoning. And that's another part of the equation for the Dodgers and every other team in 2021. Let's go out to Riverside. Roland, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Roland.
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Roland.
Let me tell you, man, the folks out here in the IE are a little uptight, but ton of support for the Dodgers. Let me first say this. We're going to be okay. I truly believe we're going to be okay. We're too talented not to, but there are some accountability things going on here, and I'm gonna echo some of the comments about Dave Roberts, and I'll disagree with you, David, a little bit. You've got to play a little more small ball. You've got to force the issue offensively when you're struggling. You've got to bunt. You've got to steal. And let me quote Albert Einstein. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. He didn't play baseball, but he was a pretty smart guy.
Yeah,
so
that's
we got
to
make some changes, David.
Yeah, what changes do you want to make? You say they need to make changes. What changes do they need to make?
Let me tell you one thing that I hate to see. Extra inning games. I'm a traditional baseball guy. I don't like the second base starting an inning, but if you have
Roland,
them there.
Roland, okay, go ahead. You want to bunt the runner over, don't you?
I do, and let me tell you why. A guy at second base with no outs 65% of the time scores. That's a pretty good average. Get him to third. Why are guys trying to beat the shift? It's ridiculous. Lay a bunt down, get him to third, and hit a fly ball. That inning, if Will Smith gets him to third, he walks in. Taylor walks in with that fly ball by Max Muncy, for sure.
Roland.
But we are again.
Roland, they had a two-run lead in extra innings. They had a two-run lead, and they blew it. That wasn't the reason why they lost.
I understand that, David, and I agree with that. We saw that happen in the Brewers series. We had a two-run lead, and we lost it. They gave up three runs. There are some other issues going on there, but you can't continue to do the same thing. Let's do something different
They had the lead. They had the lead. It's not like they didn't score in extra innings. They had the lead. They scored twice.
I know, but what? I get it. They blew it the inning before, but what happened the next inning when you have another guy in second? You don't get a run. They come up and get a run. You said it yourself. Rizzo hit a ball up the middle and moved him over to third.
All right. Well, in the eighth inning, Gavin Lux was able to pull the ball to the right side and allowed Rios to get to third base, which set up him scoring on that wild pitch. So that's my point. No, you're not hearing me. You're hearing me, but you're not listening. The point is you don't have to be so conventional and always think of the bunt. There's ways to do it other than bunting. You guys are so obsessed with bunting. There are other ways to manufacture runs, and pulling the ball to the right side is a way to do it. Stop calling me with the bunt. Call Fred Rogan about bunts. Let's go out to Corona. Jason, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jason. And by the way, before I go to Jason, let me just tell you something. Dave Roberts, ever since he took over as the manager, has probably put in play more safety squeezes and more suicide squeezes than any other manager in the National League. So just remember that, okay? You want small ball? He does it more than any other manager when the situation calls for it. Let's go out to Corona. Jason, what's up?
Hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I hate to say it, though, but I do agree with the last caller 100%.
Why? What do you agree with? What do you agree with?
They could move the ball, like you said, hit the ball to the right side, take a bunt down. Remember that play where Mookie Betts was halfway between third?
Yeah, he should have stole. He should have stole, and they should have gone to second base.
Seager, all he had to do was make contact, hit a ground ball. Even before that,
Mookie should have gone to home plate, and the runner at first should have gone to second, Seager.
But I'll just end it on one thing. I really like the play from Kieber Ruiz. I think he's got a lot of potential. How come like they don't try to make the position for him? Because obviously catcher's completely full right now.
Yeah, I just wish Kieber could play first base, honestly. Or Will Smith could pick up a first base glove and go to first base. That would make things a lot more conventional and make things a lot easier if you're trying to get Ruiz into the lineup, because you're basically wasting what he can do offensively if you're only going to use him as a pinch hitter.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And it's tough because what are you going to do? You're going to insert a kid as the catcher? He's never caught these guys consistently. He's only caught them in spring training. That's why, you know, I've heard some scouts tell me that they feel like Keibert Ruiz is comparable to Carlos Santana, who the Dodgers traded for Casey Blake years ago. So
right, I remember that. And I heard Victor Martinez as well, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. The Dodgers always talk about versatility. They should get one of these catchers a first baseman's glove.
I agree, 100%. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
All right, Jason, thanks for the phone call. Speaking of first baseman, Max Muncy tied the game in the seventh inning with a home run, not a bunt.
Ball, one strike pitch from Kimbrel, working out of the stretch at all times. And Muncy hits a high fly ball to right field. Going back to the wall is Hayward, and he looks up. It's in the basket. It's gone. A home run for Muncy. He ties the game in the seventh. Fourth home run of the year for Muncy as he takes Craig Kimbrel deep into the basket in right field. How do you like that?
Yeah, thankfully, Max Muncy did not square around a bunt. He swung away on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and tied the game in the seventh inning. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com, keyword home run, for your chance to enter this season. And look, just for the record, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I love manufacturing runs. I love the hit and run, the run and hit, all of that. I did. But there are certain situations that you do it. There are certain situations you don't. And there are certain players that you put in motion and certain players you don't. And there's certain players and combination of players that you play hit and run with. And there are certain combinations you don't. So I'm not against it. I believe in it. But I'm not sure the Dodgers have players that do that. And honestly, that's kind of the problem all around Major League Baseball. How many teams can say they have those type of players that when they need to put the ball in play, absolutely need to put the ball in play, they can execute it. It's a lost art. And I'm with you. I want it to go back that way. But it can't just happen overnight. And I got to be honest with you as well. And I hate saying that because it makes it seem like I've been lying to you for the last hour. But I will say this, the Dodgers have made more small ball than any other team when it comes to the safety squeezes, to the suicide squeezes. They have done that. They have done it. Trust me, if you think back, they have. How many times have you seen teams do that against the Dodgers? They haven't. The Dodgers have done it more to opposing teams over the course of the last 6 years when the time and place has called for it. I'm just tired of hearing about bunting. That's not going to solve the problems. You know what's going to solve the offensive problems? Corey Seager starting to hit again. Mookie Betts being the catalyst and spark plug like he was last year and was for the Red Sox. That's what's going to change it. You know what else is going to change it? Max Muncy isn't going to keep looking at strike three. That's what's going to stop it. It's not going to be bunting. Hopefully it starts tomorrow. Walker Buehler will be on the mound for the Dodgers. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 3:30. First pitch at 4:40. In case you missed tonight's Dodger Talk or the midday edition after Game 1, you could podcast both on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. Also, Episode 6 of Extra Innings Podcast will drop tomorrow afternoon. Andre Ethier joins us every week. You want to hear what he has to say. And also, the great Hall of Fame manager, Joe Torre. You'll hear that full conversation for 25 minutes with Joe Torre on analytics, small ball, Kershaw, everything. You don't want to miss it. You could download and podcast on the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, or Spotify. Thanks to Colin Yee for his help. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald back at Dodger Stadium. And I truly appreciate you listening, and I love talking baseball with you, even if we do disagree. That's the beauty of baseball. Once again, the final score in Game 1 of the doubleheader, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 7-1. In Game 2, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 4-3. Have a great night. See ya. Look at those trees. Look at that bum over there, baby.